It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Now, sometimes people say, I have a prayer request. I can understand people do not want to tell more details about their family or more details about their physical life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. He says, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God, everything open and naked to His eyes. People are telling their children, don't tell anybody, but I'm telling you. And then somebody calls and say, instead of saying, my mom told me not to say this, they have to lie. And so indirectly, we are teaching our children to lie. So the Word of God said, there is nothing secret, nothing hidden. No. That is the Word of God. But the Word of God says, there's nothing secret, so give it away. Keep on telling others what you know, because one day we are going to die. So we want to spread the gospel as much as and tell the truth as much as we can. Mark chapter 4, verse 23.
If any man have ears to hear, let him hear.
That's what he's saying. Whatever I told you up to now, if you have ears, mean you heard it, practice it. Verse 24.
And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given.
Be careful what you hear. Whatever you hear, that much you give it to other people. Now, sometimes people have some kind of a practice. If somebody says something, they hear it, they add something more, or they don't tell the full story. So he said, whatever you hear, that's the way you give it away. Whatever you received, that's the way you pass it on. And so when you do that, then God will bless you. Whatever the measure you give it to other people, that's the way you are going to be blessed. Let's read the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 38.
Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again.
Whatever the measure you gave, that's the measure you are going to receive it. And so, what you hear, that you pass it on. You give it to somebody, you can give anything to somebody, God is watching. The God is saying, I'm going to let these people give it back to you the same measure you gave it to them. So when you give it to somebody, it's not going to go away, but it's going to come back the same measure you gave it. Verse 25.
For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground.
He says, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken it away, whatever he hath. Now somebody said, this looks so bad. He says, if you have more, the more will be given to you. But if you have less, that also will be taken from you. That doesn't sound good, is it? It sounds like taking from the poor. But it's not like that. If you will not understand in this chapter, but it's explained in the book of Luke chapter 19. But I'm not giving you whole story, but I'm just giving you one verse. Just go and read Luke 19, verse 26.
For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him.
Now, here also you have to read the whole chapter. Now let me give you a nutshell the chapter. Now, there are a couple of different ways the chapter is given. But it's just saying that one man gave five talents to somebody. It means $5 or $500 or $5,000. And one man, he gave three or $2,000 and one gave $1,000. And he says, okay, do business with this and I'll be back. So the master comes and somebody says, you give 5,000, I made 5,000 more. The other one says, you give 3,000, I made 3,000 more. And the person who get 1,000, he said, you know what? I didn't put it in business because you are a very bad master. You're going to take it where you didn't even sow it. So he said, okay, in that case, why did not put my money in the bank? I would have got some interest. So he said, what did you do? So what he did, took the money, put it in the handkerchief, dig a hole, and put it there. Now, do you know what handkerchief is for? Handkerchief is for when you have sweat, you wipe the sweat out. When you work hard, you get sweat. If you don't want to work, you don't need a handkerchief. So he said, no handkerchief, no money, put it in the ground, nobody takes it. So the master says, okay, give me that money. And where this man will give that money, just think now. If the other man made a double from 5 to 10, and so he thinks, if I give it to him, he will make it double. So he give to the more the person has. So if you are having a company and you made 4 or 5 stores and you are supervisor, he says, number one store making a double profit and everybody making more profit, and the last business you started, they are always in debts. So what do? You stop that business and take whatever it is and put it in another person who is doing the good business. Then we will understand why it's saying like this. If somebody has little, take it away from him and give it to the person who has more. Now that makes sense. God wants us to use the talent. There is a saying, if you don't use it, what? You lose it. Same idea. Whatever you have it, you use it. Anything God has given to you, if you use that talent, you're going to expand it. If not, you're going to lose it. Means God is going to take it and give it to somebody else. And that's what it makes now some sense. Okay, Mark chapter 4, verse 26.
And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come.
Now here, when you read this, he said, I don't know, I don't understand what he's trying to say. Now we are in modern technology. You can see, they can sow the seed, and you can see the plant coming. There are cameras put there, and they can see how it grows. But he's talking about 2,000 years ago. When you sow the seed, and you can see day and night, you will not see how it came and how it grew. So he said, that's the way the kingdom of God is. You are sowing the seed, and people are getting saved, healed, delivered, set free, and we are growing. And the time goes so fast. When Jesus Christ says, I am coming soon, 2,000 years pass and he's not coming. But if you are busy, sounds like very short time. It came, is sown and grown. You know your grandchildren or children, they were a little bit baby and now they are graduated and have children and families. And then you look back, wow, it looks like yesterday. So time goes so fast. So he says, sowing, we sow the things and you don't know how it comes, how it grows, even though you keep looking at day and night, but in front of you it grows and gets mature, and then you immediately you have the harvest, and that's the way kingdom of God is. That means we do not have time to waste. Whatever we have to do it today. Don't keep it for tomorrow. There was a one man, and there is a neighbor was sick, and the Spirit of God told him, go and visit that man and take some oranges and give it to him. And so he said, I'll go tomorrow. He's not too far. And he wasted one day, and next day he went there with the oranges and meat. They said he just died. When he died, he just died yesterday. So the point I'm making, this man was so disappointed. He told me his story. He learned one thing. Don't keep today's work for tomorrow. Whatever we want to do, do it today. Tomorrow never comes. I said, tomorrow will be always tomorrow. So he says, this is the way the kingdom of God is. The time is running out. We have to preach, teach, and bring the people to the kingdom of God. Okay, let's go further.
And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it.
Now, when somebody hears this, they say mustard seed is smallest than any other seed, but I have seen some other seed smaller than the mustard seed. Then why he is saying mustard seed? Because other seeds are smaller than mustard seed, but they do not become like a mustard seed, a plant or the bush. I have seen one time fennel seed. Now fennel seed is small, but if you see the fennel seed, comes like a big bush, and they come like thousands of them, you know, bunches. And so the mustard seed plant I didn't see, but from explanation it sounds like a big bush. And so he says even the birds can come in the shadow of that bush. It's not a tree, but is bigger than a smaller plant. There are some small seeds. We have this red plant outside. You see the seed is tinier than mustard seed. But that plant just goes up to here and doesn't become big bush, and the birds of the air will not come to make a nest there or stay in there. So what is this he's saying? He says this is the way the kingdom of God is. When you preach the word of God, you're preaching to all kinds of people. You're preaching to the Indians or Pakistanis or different kinds of religion or all kinds of people, and they come to hear the gospel of God. And so when we see Christianity, we have all other languages and all other colors and nationality, people come to the umbrella of Christianity. You don't see this in other countries. There are some religion in India they call Parsis. They don't take anybody in their religion. They want only Parsis to worship. There is another religion, they are Punjabis. They don't bring any other religious people in Punjabi religion. They have their own religion. There is Sindhis. They don't convert any other people in Sindhi religion. Only Christian religion is the one. Everybody comes in an umbrella, even though we help everybody. Now, if you see Billy Graham's son, if the disaster happens, he goes to everyone. He doesn't say, if you are a Christian, then I help you. He helps everybody. So that means the Christian people should be like a mustard seed. You should be having compassion on everybody and bring them in the shadow or bring them in Christ. That's the way the Christian life is all about. It's not only for us. There are some people, they don't want anybody else but us. There are some people say, now it's changed. 50, 60 years ago, black churches, only black people, white churches, only white people. Today also, Indian people, they have Indian congregation. They don't want any other people coming. They come from India, and they have their own language and their own congregation. They don't want any other people mixing. But our church is called what? International Christian Fellowship. We want all kinds of people come, and we are like a mustard seed. We want all people come to Jesus Christ. And that's what the meaning is. Okay, verse 33.
And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side.
Now here we see, he gave the parables. He did not explain to other people. He explained to only disciples. And he said to them, God has given you grace, and the mystery is revealed to you, but to others, I'm going to speak with the parables. The evening came. Now he said, let's go. Now they were almost in the sea. We heard in the beginning, the boat was there, the ship was there, he was in the ship, and he was preaching there. Now it's the evening, and you can see, I don't know he started at what time, but hours and hours he's preached, so he's tired. So now what Jesus Christ is saying, let's go to other side. Now when Jesus said, let's go to other side, that means we will go to other side. Jesus said it, and it will be done. But see what happens. Let's read the whole story, without say the whole thing, from 36.
And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?
Now see the situation. One ship, Jesus Christ is sitting, and he said, according to this, he went to the underground, means a little bit lower part. And he took a pillow, and he was sleeping. Now when you say when somebody takes the pillow, means you really wants to sleep, or you are really tired. So he went there. Now here, not only one ship, there were other little ships were following them. So now there are so many people, other sheep and his sheep, and they're following. And he says a great thunderstorm or some kind of hurricane came, and they start drowning. Such a way that the first level was completely filled with the water. So now they knew we are going to drown. Now they got so afraid, and they called the master, say, Master, Master, you don't care about us. We are perishing. Now just think, Jesus Christ is in your boat. He is in your house. He is also traveling with you. If the boat goes under, Jesus Christ was a little bit more under. So he will be drowned too. So, but these people did not have that kind of faith. Jesus told us, let's go to other side. We will be going other side because he said it. So we are not going to drown. And Jesus is in our boat. We are not going to drown. But they start saying, Master, Master. Now they are accusing him. Don't you care? You sleeping? And we are going to drown? And I was sound asleep. My wife says, we are dying. People are scared. The plane is going to crash. I say, it's not going to crash because God is with us and we are going to preach. We are going for the mission trip. It's not going to happen. Thank God we say God saved us. But in that journey, 2-3 times we have to take a plane, detour, and come back to the airport because we had a problem. But the point I'm making, God was with us and we didn't have any problem. Jesus Christ is in the boat and they are scared. They are afraid. See what Jesus said. Verse 39.
And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm.
Okay. Now here, Jesus Christ did not say, Why did you bother me when I was sleeping? I was sound asleep. Didn't say anything. First thing he did, rebuked the wind, rebuked the waves, everything completely calm, more calmer than regular. They never saw that kind of calm in that kind of environment. So these people were really, really surprise. Now, after everything calms down, see what Jesus said to them.
And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?
See, the fear is not from the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. So he said, why are you so afraid? Why are you so fearful? And where is your faith? When the fear comes, fear is opposite faith. When you lost your faith, that's why you are afraid of things. But when we have faith of God, we are not afraid of anything because Jesus Christ is always with us. These people saw something in Christ. Verse 41.
And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Now, this fear is not fear. This fear, when they fear exceedingly, this is respect for Jesus. Wow! He is God. What kind of man is this? We never saw this kind of miracle. We never saw somebody can calming down the wind and sea obey him. So they got more respect for Jesus Christ from that day onwards. Book of Mark chapter 5. Now, Book of Mark, Book of Matthew, and Book of Luke. The story what we are going to study today, given in three books. But in Matthew, it's a little bit different. So we will be studying it, and some people might be having questions why Matthew says different than the Mark and Luke. Let's start. Mark chapter 5, verse 1.
And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, and in the tombs, crying, and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, that thou torment me not.
Okay, now here we'll stop. If you remember last week, we learned Jesus and his disciples, they were going at the side, and Jesus calmed everything down, and now they went to other side. As soon as they're coming out of the boat, here we see the man with the demon spirits. Disciples might be thinking one trouble after another trouble. Now, this trouble was not easy trouble, because when you read about this man was not ordinary man. He was demon possessed, not one, but thousands of them in him. Matthew says there were two men. Let's go and read the Matthew, then we'll come back. Matthew chapter 8, starting from verse 28.
And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and herd of many swine feeding.
Okay, now we'll stop here. I just wanted to point out, Matthew said there were two people, and two of them were crying the same way like this man was crying, asking Jesus. In Mark, this man says to Jesus, you are the Son of the Most High God. So now, someone would say, how come Matthew says there were two men And Luke and Mark says one man. I was just thinking, when you read in Luke, he says this man demon possessed for a long, long time. He was living naked, living in the tombs. They used to chain him, and he started breaking the chains. They used to keep him surrounded, all kinds of ties. He will break those ties and chain and everything, and he will go in that kind of mountain area. And he used to take the stone, beat him up, cut him up, and he was like a wild man. Now, I don't think this man was very skinny man. So he was a strong man, and so everybody was concentrating on him. Even though there might be other demon-possessed people, they didn't pay attention to those people. But when Jesus Christ is coming, when the demon-possessed man came, the other person who might be demon-possessed for a short period of time, and might be he thought a good opportunity, when Jesus Christ is coming, he also came, and the Matthew mentioned these two people. But the Mark and Luke is concentrating on this very strong demonic man. And so the story goes that this person, living in the mountain, always night and day, and cutting himself, when he saw Jesus, he ran to Jesus. People were afraid to go on that way because nobody can go in that person's territory. But when Jesus Christ coming, he coming running after him, and go back to the Mark chapter 5 verse 7. And he says, he cried with a loud voice and said, "What I have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" And he begged him, saying, "Don't torment us," or "Don't torment me." So devil was afraid that Jesus Christ will be sending him to hell. Mark chapter 5 verse 8.
"For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much, that he would not send them away out of the country."
Okay, here he says, don't send them away out of the country, or don't send me to a hell. And so these demons were afraid that they do not want to leave this region. Maybe he was having good time in this area, so he didn't want to go. And so they are asking Jesus where they should be going. Start reading from verse 11.
"Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them."
Now see, there was a one man, and now he says the devils asked him, request him, "Please send us into the swine, that we may enter into them."
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.